Okay, so Vince, episode two.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So, what are we going to be talking about today then, Simon?
So I've been having, I don't know if you're the same as me, but at the moment it's a lot of conversations about the future. I think that's coming up to the end of the year. It's what does 2025 and beyond look like? So I think it's a conversation that we need to have, obviously, as a life sciences jobs portal, kind of on us to talk a little bit about the future. So before we do that, though, let's paint a bit of a picture. Let's talk about where we are right now. What's your thought?
Yeah, well, obviously, we talk to a lot of biotechs, management consultancies, pharma companies, CROs, etc., about what they're doing. And I think they're all experiencing the same things, really. So a couple of the issues that we've got is probably the biggest one is the multi-generational workforce. We've got a lot of people, the baby boomers are starting to retire. You've got Gen Z, Gen X, and the, dare I say it, the millennials, all of which are really good people. But the problem you have is modern life is just so busy. So, you've got to sort of merge your working life and your working life together and still feel like you've achieved something during the day. And I think the key thing from my point of view is you've got to think about your employees as a resource. And what do they want? So when we did a webinar early in the year, and I think we were looking at Gartner, and there was a number of things there. Like people said, they wanted to feel understood, they wanted to be autonomous, they wanted to feel valued, cared for, invested in, and this is all about holistic well-being and personal growth. Now, how do you give your employees that, as well as hit all of your business needs as well? So it's a really difficult thing to do.
It is. That was the personalized development webinar, wasn't it, on the Farley Web?
So and there was quite a lot of research that went into that. And I think the key thing for me was thinking about things like career roadmaps and milestones for candidates. And I know that some of the really more advanced companies are giving things like micro promotions to keep people going in the right track and that kind of thing. And then thinking about, training in the skills gap, so for example, what else can you give them to enhance their capabilities? And I've got a little bit more on that now, which is quite good. Mentoring is really important as well, and it doesn't have to be work mentoring. It could be home mentoring, it could be external mentoring, depending on what the individual needs. So it's all going into that sort of personalized, business-driven roadmap of what your future is going to look like, and whether you need to reskill or upskill is really important, because whatever your current employees don't have, you have to buy in, and it's the buying in that costs the money. It's a lot of money to actually bring people on board. And I think all of these changes are affecting talent acquisition and HR, because it's having to be a lot more strategic now and think more about the long term rather than the short term. It used to be, all right, we need 20 people here, let's go and hire those. Well, you might need those 20 people today, but in 6 months' time, you might not. So how do you develop those people?
Is
Does that
that
make
something that
sense?
you think has come along more, that I think businesses are more switched on to what the future looks like? Is that something that we're thinking long term in the same way that we do about climate change, for example? It's not just tomorrow, it's now 10, 15 years, the ramifications. Is that what's kind of happened to business?
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of other things that happen to business as well. I mean, obviously, if you think about the speed of the world now and global disruption, the future of work, change management, the world's changed, more probably, I think, in the last 5 years than I've seen it in the whole rest of my life. We've got to be more agile, you've got to be more adaptive, you've got to think more about changes in the business and what business looks like. What do your clients want? There's a big assessment going on around, where do you actually go? And then, as I was saying, it's all about skills. If you look at all the management reports and a number of people are looking at this big skill shortage, who's actually got the right skills? How do you change those skills? Do you build them? Do you buy them in? What are you actually doing? And it's, for me, when I'm talking to clients, they're always saying it's all about deploying the right talent at the right time. Because if you have to wait for it, or if you miss the boat, those are all bad things. And the clients are being much more particular now as well.
That's true.
They're being more demanding. It's got to be right. It's got to be on time or just in time. So you're not given as much time to, you know, put teams together or groups of people. You're not even getting enough time internally because hiring managers, you know, are being more demanding. You know, we want these people now. So rather than strategically saying 9 months from now, we want these people, it's I want them yesterday.
Yes, everything's faster, better and cheaper than it was 5 years ago.
Yeah, and it's just making it really difficult. So there's been a lot of changes just across the board, I think, in what companies want, what clients want, and how they're actually going to sell those services to other organisations, especially in the pharma sector. Because for years, the pharma sector has been very linear. Business isn't linear anymore.
It's true.
I mean, looking at employees, their job isn't linear anymore. You know, they might be subject matter leads. They might be more management based. They might want to go off and do something else. They want me on a career change. You can chop and change and do whatever you want, whenever you want it. And that is a challenge in itself because you need to keep people. You need to retain them. And they need to offer them internal mobility in the company to go off and do the things they want to do. Keep it engaging. This is really important.
First and foremost, everything's got to be ultra personalized, though, doesn't it? You know, there's no one size fits all solution. It's not, you know, open a book and here's the instructions. It's based on that persona. And that could be a generational thing. That could be a skills based thing. That could be a neurodiversity thing. There's a different way to manage absolutely everybody. And the companies that understand that and can plan for that and utilize these plans quickly are going to be the ones that thrive tomorrow, 10, 15 years time. But if you've got a one size fits all solution like we did early part of the century, then it's not going to work.
No, I mean, there's a saying that's just recently come out that I saw, you know, all employees want to learn, earn and grow. You've got to invest in them to do that, you know, and I think that's true because you're not going to keep the good people if you don't, because they're going to be in high demand. And they're going to go to other places. I mean, going back to what you were saying about employees and what they're doing, as I said, you know, if you go back 10, 15 years, your roadmap for your career was pretty much laid out. It's very linear.
Yeah.
You know,
if you're
in clinical research, you follow a certain route, there's milestones you hit, and thanks very much, you get to the end and you're a, you know, clinical project manager, whatever it is, going into management. It's not like that anymore. You can change from different roles. You can go to data management. You can swap over and go client side. You can do all sorts of different things now, which you couldn't do before.
Yeah,
whereas
sure.
Now companies have identified what you can actually do and what the opportunities are. And so have employees, you know. So the personalized experience, I think, is based on individual candidate skills and what they need to grow or develop. Or based on their personality and the type of person they are and where they go in their career. And it's not linear anymore. You know, I think those days are gone. And it's, as I said, it's too easy for people to move around, go and look at another job, rethink their career, have a career break. You know, there's so many options that are available to people now. So how do you as a company offer them a career structure and add value as those individuals?
I think adding value is the really important bit, because the way that people work now is so different to, I'm gonna drop the C-bomb, it's pre-COVID. You know, we used to come into the office in the morning and then we go home in the evening, and then in the evening home time began, and that's where you thought about what I'm doing, what are my hobbies, who are my friends, who's everything. But the 2 years of strange times of real blended work and home, it's definitely had a long-lasting effect. So the expectation from candidates these days, from employees these days as well, is that everything needs to fit around me a little bit better than it used to. You know, the demand for flexible working, for remote working, for hybrid working, these are demands that we'd have never made. When you were interviewing me 6 years ago, I'd have never asked for any of those things, because that wasn't the norm, was it? It was, I will work out doing X, Y, and Z around my job. You know, I think it's a good shift. I think it's a shift that we've made for the better in terms of human nature. But it definitely presents huge challenges from a business perspective as to how you make that work. It's hard enough with a team of 10, but imagine it with a team of 10,000.
Oh, no, absolutely. And this is where you see a lot of changes in management come in. Mm. You know, old school management is definitely gone. Managing millennials, Gen X, Gen Z is a completely different thing to what we've seen in the past. And it's all around work-life balance. You know, do people come in earlier? Do they go later? What milestones have they got? What's their productivity like? Mm. All of those things are really, really important. And it's around change behavior. You know, how do I change as a manager? How do I manage remote teams? How do I manage people that come into office? How do I keep on touch or in touch with people and their well-being? You can't do that as easily, whereas a lot of companies are really thinking about that. And yeah. We haven't even touched on things like D&I or even the psychology of people and what their thoughts are on things. And I think the other thing is, there's a lot of data now on how things are working. We've got AI to back that up. We can look at the data. And I think the key thing for a lot of people is actually using that data to make decisions on where the company's going and what you're actually doing. So what sort of people do you need? How productive are they? Do we need that in-house? Could we outsource that? You know, so a lot of companies are rethinking about changing the business and not just doing the same old traditional ways. What can we do that's new? What can we do that's more effective, better for our clients and better for us at the same time, and actually good for our employees as well?
Yeah, I mean, the use of data, the use of AI to kind of help you understand what you need and when you need to buy in those skills and when you can upskill them yourselves, that's quite pivotal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, you're looking there at things like data-driven decisions. Mm. You know, so based on the data, based on what's actually happened, and this is real-time data. You know, we're not looking at, you know, the manager of a section called Johnny saying, oh, yeah, these guys are really good.
Yeah.
That's just a personal view. Give me the data that proves that, and then we can actually do something with that team. We can rethink about it. Analysis, you know, when we think about road mapping where employees are going to be in the future and where we can deploy them within the company, or if we can deploy them, you know, it's not always, you know, going to be as straightforward as that. And I think the data will identify the skills that you actually need to support the business in the future. And then you can think about, you know, when you're talking to talent acquisition, the sort of people you're going to need to fill those gaps based on where the company's going. So it's a big change. This is like a quantum leap in where we were 5 years ago, even.
Yeah.
And I've been talking to a lot of people about this, and they're all got headaches about it. You know, do we bring consultants in? Are we doing the right things? Have we got the right mode wraps? You know, these milestones we've got in place, are they the right things or are they not the right things? A lot of big pharma companies want their people to go back to the office at least 3 days a week. And people are rebelling against it because
naturally
working from home is the norm now. Mm. Why do I want to go back to the office?
Yeah, they shift goalposts, didn't they? You know, they hired people for remote roles. And then it's, oh, yeah, these are now going to be hybrid, by the way. You hired me. I live in Chester. Your office is in Oxford. That's never going to work.
No.
You know, it's strange how that's happened.
It's pros and cons, you know. So. To me, it's all around business change, changing the workplace, and the speed that you can manage that change. Because going back to what I said earlier, you've got to be agile. Mm. As a business, you've got to be able to react quicker and more efficiently than you've ever done before. And if you can do that, then you can hit the challenges of the future. If you can't, you're going to fall by the wayside, unfortunately. So you've got a lot of senior C-suite board directors of companies now probably sitting there thinking, you know, the world's a completely changed place. How can we react that quickly? You can, you just have to think about it differently and, you know, do different things. The other thing I think which we're going to see is roles changing. So you might be employed as one thing and you very quickly move into another role, you get upskilled, or you might get reskilled into another area so that you're more adaptable and more usable by the organization. And I think HR will start to be more strategic in working with the business and figuring out what the needs really will be based on the people that we've got on the ground right now. And it doesn't matter if you're in production, whether you're a consultancy, you could be a bank, finance company. All of these companies are now going to go through this. They're going to be thinking about where do we go next and how do we achieve it? And what people do we need? Hmm. You know, old school's not working. The world's completely changed and we're seeing a lot of changes there. So I suppose I was talking to a very old friend of mine just the other day and we were talking about business. And his whole remit was, we've got to be more proactive, not reactive. We've been reactive for too long. We can't keep reacting to what's happened to us. We need to be proactive and get ahead of the game. And we spent probably an hour talking about that over lunch. And it was a really interesting conversation, which has really made me think about the things we're talking about today.
Mm.
Because us as a business, we need to change. We need to be more proactive. We need to offer more tools. We need to think about the AI. You know, there's a lot of new tools coming out for talent acquisition that are going to speed things up there.
Absolutely.
You know, what are we actually going to do with that?
Yeah, I mean, I was reading something earlier that said over the next 5 years, about 25% of all jobs that we have now are set to change in some way. That doesn't necessarily mean like in huge ways, but the implications of AI technology is going to completely reinforce that statistic, I think. So let's just talk AI for a second. Yep. If you think of a medical writer or a regulatory writer, the job they do takes a very, very long time. They've got to cross-reference lots of different sources. They've got to make sure what they say is right and by the book, and they've got to present that in an interesting way, right? There are AI programs which are doing that job now very quickly, and it's saving them nearly a week's worth of work. I don't think medical writers or regulatory writers are going to disappear. I think their job's going to change to encapsulate AI, and I think they're going to become, you know, the blacksmiths at the forge, as it were, where they're working the tools to get the thing they need, putting their stamp on it, and AI is going to enable them to do 10 times more than they could previously because of the time saved. So I don't think its jobs are going to go. I think it's they're going to change and they're going to evolve. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I know. I think that's a pretty good analogy, actually. I think you've hit the nail on the head with that, because there's so much data now. There's so much information. The regulatory writing, medical writing is a really good one to actually show that, because, you know, the AI makes a huge difference. It speeds things up something by, you know, 70 to 80%.
Yeah.
However, you still need to be the custodian of the data.
You do.
You still need to make sure the data is correct. It's come from a verified source, you know, so it's not as straightforward as, oh, you push a button and there's your answer. You still need people that really understand what that means to actually put those things together and put those reports together, because it's important that you get it right. And you can't rely on AI. You can use it to enhance what you've already got. And speed is one of them. So it might give you more time. And this is where we go back to that skills challenge. You know, if you've got people that can now do what they used to do in 5 days in 2.5 days, you've got 2.5 days of extra time. What else can they do? What are new areas where they can go and look at? You know, they might start to become data experts. They might start to become more involved in the management side of the business. So they're freeing up time to do other things, because we're all saying all the time, oh, I haven't got enough time to do this. I haven't got enough time to do that.
Yeah.
Using the technology gives us that time, doesn't it?
It's true. What kind of skills do you think the focus is going to be on, sort of industry-wide? And these can be soft skills or they can be, you know, desirable academic skills. What do you think the sort of key ones are going to be for people to stand out and be noticed?
I think, from my point of view, from talking to people, I think the key skills will stay the same. I think the enhancements to what you've already got are going to be, you know, more management skills, you know. I think there's going to be a lot more need for mentoring within organizations to bring more junior people up, to give them that experience and that depth of knowledge transfer that I think most people want. I can see a lot more of that going on. I mean, there's a lot in the industry at the moment around behavior management.
Yeah,
when you're assessing how someone actually deals with a situation and what do they need to help them to do that better or more efficiently. And I think those capabilities are the enhancements that are going to go with someone that they've already got. So what you're doing is you're giving them new skills. So you're changing someone that had a fairly linear technical job and then maybe making them more of a manager or helping to become a manager or a subject matter lead. Or you might be retraining them to actually now use the AI that we've been talking about, looking at the data and making sure that this isn't just a best guess. this is information based on the data we've got. So I can see a lot of them just being add-ons initially,
yep,
to allow people to move around and do different things. And if they move into, dare I say it, more of a management type role, then they become more of a manager in the future, if that's what they want to do. But this goes back to the personalization.
Exactly.
What do they want to do? What are they capable of doing? What help do they need to get there? Does the company want them to do that?
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. And I don't think people or employees would have ever had that opportunity before, but I think this is really coming now.
I think so. I think if you, as an employee, start learning data analysis now, and you start working on your adaptability, how you thrive in different situations, you know, how you cope under pressure in a unfamiliar territory, those are going to be really useful soft skills for you to take forward, because I think data is going to be everything. I think we're going to have to constantly look at data. We're going to constantly have to find the weak points of what we're doing and how to make them stronger. So I think that's a really important core skill to be coaching and mentoring and nurturing now in just about anyone in your organization that you want to keep and upskill and cross skill and reskill. I think that's a good one to go for.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And again, it all depends on who's managing and mentoring those people as to how well they and how rounded they are as they move forward in their careers. But don't forget, the other thing you've got to think about is that internal mobility side of things. From a retention point of view, you don't want to be losing people that you've put a lot of time and effort into, because buying that skill set back in is going to be expensive. So maintain the skill you've got, but then think about the internal mobility. Where else could they go? What's their future really look like? And I think the task for HR in particular is looking at people individually and thinking about, okay, where do we want that person to go? This is where they are now. And it, you know, subject to change all the time, because you never know what happens to people. But if you've got internal employees that are very, very good, you've got to keep hold of them.
Yeah,
because, you know, finding new people. I mean, and this is where I think we've seen a big shift recently in the culture of the company being the most important thing that people are looking for. You know, that rise that we saw 2 years ago, which has steadily grown to 9%, started off at 6 or 7%. And now it's one of the most important things. So, you know, people want to go and work for a company that they're hearing great things about.
Yeah, it's
and I
true.
Think that's really exciting, because, you know, you can't hide now with social media and what people say. You know, you've got companies like Glassdoor, which I don't particularly like, but it certainly sets the tone when you're looking for a job, and it gives you somewhere to go and see what other people are saying. So, you know, you've got to be on your game as an organization now. Your employee value proposition needs to be very clear and out there. I mean, we've been advising clients for, you know, 2 years to get their EVP, their employer branding, absolutely bang on. More videos. Let's get more people talking about how great it is to work here.
Yeah.
Because that's what people want.
It is. Yeah. It is. We've got a very passionate talent pool in life sciences. You know, these are people who all want to make a difference. You don't necessarily get into this industry because you want to make loads of money. You get in it because you want to make a difference. You want to save lives and improve lives across the world. So you've got to play to that audience. It's no good just, you know, towing the same company line you've been towing for 30 years. You've got to change, and you've got to move with the times, I guess.
Yeah. And that goes back down to the same old thing, really. It's skills and strategy planning. It's employee growth. You need to think about their strategic strategy from an individual employee point of view. You know, what are you going to do with them over a period of time? And then you've got to think about the training needs that you need to put in place to back that up. And again, a lot of companies are already doing this. I don't think they've got a complete plan yet, because it's very complex. But at the end of the day, you know, what you're trying to do is to make sure your employees are rounded, they stay with you, and they do a great job.
Yeah. So summing everything up then, if we were to sum up what companies need to do in two sentences to move with the times, what would your recommendation be, and what's the focus?
From my point of view, it's all about the skills that you've got within the organization and the business you're trying to win. And have you got the right people now? Can you develop the right people in the future? Can you plan that? Has HR got the skills to actually start thinking strategically rather than being reactive, start to be proactive and say, right, yeah, in 2 years' time, we'll have these people, or you buy in the right things. I think you've still got to think about career development. You've still got to think about employee well-being, which is really important. Mentoring, you've got to think about D&I. And all of those things will then lead to, you know, business success and how you're growing. I mean, I've seen small organizations that I've helped and discussed things like where they're growing. They've gone from a small company to a medium-sized company, and they've had to cross that bridge. And the way they crossed that bridge was by changing what they did.
Yeah.
You know, change the structure, put the right people in the right places, and then you can move forward. But you can't move forward by doing the same old things. And I think a lot of companies are starting to look at this now. There is so much new technology. People have changed. Work has changed. And I think, you know, the war for talent is over, and it's now the war for skills.
I would agree.
As that. Yeah. You know? And this is what we're seeing in the market. So, yeah, it's been a really interesting year this year, especially coming to the tail end, where there's been this distinct change as to what employees want and what companies want, and I think a lot of companies are starting to, you know, put a lot of thought to it, bring people on board, build teams. I don't think we're there yet as an overall package, but I think that's what I'm seeing. What about you? What are you seeing?
I think the focus has got to be, as you said, it's proactivity. It's not just thinking about tomorrow. It's thinking about the long-term implications of everything you do. And honestly, it's delving into data, and it's getting really intimate with what you're seeing, both analytics-wise and AI-wise. You've just got to be so on the ball now. There's no room for mistakes, I don't think. I think the stakes are higher now than they've ever been. We're seeing companies lose business, lose clients, fold because they're making mistakes and they're not keeping up and keeping competitive. I think now it's about looking at the metrics of what you're outputting versus what you're expecting to output, finding those holes, plugging them, making sure you've got your best people on the weakest parts of the wall, to put it in siege terms, I guess.
Yeah.
Sorry, you said warfare skills, so now I'm thinking of a siege. But yeah, I think that's it. You know, you've got to get really, really, really intimate with your data, and you've got to understand it, and you have to have people that understand it and know strategically what to do based on what they're seeing.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I hope that the industry wakes up really, really quickly to this. I know a lot of them have already, but, you know, everyone needs to. Because I think, you know, I can't remember who it said. I'm going to say Bob Marley, but, you know, he said old ways won't open new doors. And I've used that a few times. I'm sure it wasn't him that said it, but
I think it was, you know.
You know, yeah, it's never been truer than it is right now.
Absolutely. Well, it's been an interesting conversation, certainly, to say the least. The war for skills are quite like that. So let's go out and see what that looks like in the future. And I'll see you on the next one, yeah?
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, Simon.
No worries. See you soon, Vince.
Bye.